Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the third day of February, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is time is running out. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. Callers are welcome. However, we do ask that you keep comments and or questions as short as possible to allow as many to participate as we can. Also, be cognizant that we have senior citizens and youngsters with us today. And so, therefore, we will try to keep our language in the appropriate zone. We are in the question and answer mode, which means one at a time per Robert's Rules of Order. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's all together, no spaces or any special characters, just simply pastordan.net. There you will find many links to news items, health information, study material, references to other sites. There's an abundance of ways to get to the truth today if you seek it. We also have past programs there, the schedule for any future calls, and a little bit of historical information, and daily mail, by the way, too. So when email, which is being scrubbed by some of the providers, particularly Gmail these days, when that is scrubbed by the censors, it gets difficult, and therefore, please go to PastorDan.net, the Daily Mail page, and you will find any of the significant news items that I come across posted there. We'll go ahead with the quote, too, of Thomas Watson Sr. again, because this is very important because of the times we live in. Nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead. We need leaders, folks, to lead. As what he does from day to day to lead himself. In other words, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, we got a lot of hearers. We got churches full of pew setters. They hear the word all the time. But how many doers of the word do we have? That's the problem. Psalm 59, verse 16, but I will sing of your strength. Yes, I will sing aloud of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my high tower, a refuge in the day of my distress. For the folks out there that don't know much about history, back in the day when King David wrote the Psalms, a high tower was a position of safety, but also from where you could see, which would be synonymous of discernment. You could see what was coming. In other words, like the proverb says, a prudent man sees disaster coming or trouble coming and prepares for it. The high tower also allowed you to be above the arrows and the spears and the swords of the day, which were what the enemy used often in engagements of battle. So a high tower not only gave you the ability to see them coming and make preparations, it also gave you a place of safety beyond the reach of their weapons. Let's see, I believe it's scripture that tells us all the things that the enemy has done, all the weapons formed against us will fail. And indeed they shall. Proverbs 28, starting at verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. In rebellion, a land has many rulers, but order is maintained by a man of understanding and knowledge. Now, like most things in Scripture, there's a lot of meaning in a few words, just as the Scripture even tells us, a wise man gets his point across with but a few words. Okay? A wise man gets his point across with just a few words. So in this verse, there's a whole lot there. The wicked flee when no man pursues. That's because they're paranoid. They know they're wicked. They know they're up to no good. Why do you think they spend so much time for propaganda? Why do you think they would create a law that says it's okay to propagandize and lie to the American people? Why would you do that? Unless you're up to no good. Why would you pass a law that says the military is able to use American citizens as guinea pigs in their experiments? Why would you do that? The wicked know damn well what they're doing. Why is Washington, D.C. a swamp? Because they're all wicked, and they're up to no good. So they have paranoia, but the righteous are as bold as a lion because they don't have a guilty conscience. Those that stand for righteousness and justice in the world, they should be as bold as a lion. If you trust in your Father, you should not have the spirit of fear. And besides that, think about it, folks. As Linda Perez Wilson says when she was broadcasting, hey folks, I got news for you. None of us are getting out of this alive. I thought the first time I heard that it was cute as hell. Yeah, how about that? A simple truth. None of us are going to get out of this experiment. None of us are going to get out of this world that our Heavenly Father created alive, except a very special few at the very end. Okay, so what the hell are you worried about? Because some people say, well, they might hurt me. So you're going to live a lie? You're going to live as a coward? As my father told me after my mom had passed away, a very horrendous end to her life, there's worse things than dying, Danny. There's worse things than dying. Yeah, having to live with pain and suffering, having to live with the fact that you're a coward, having to live with the fact that you stood by and did nothing as the world sinks into the abyss, and your sons and daughters have to live with what you have allowed to come to pass. Verse 2, in rebellion. Now think about this for a second. It's already set the stage for the rest of the verse here. In rebellion, and this is a verse directed at Yahweh's people. A land has many rulers, but order is maintained by a man of understanding and knowledge. How many times have we talked about monarchies on this program? Why do you think the Christian, we'll use the term Christian because so many people are used to it. I really don't like that term, but the monarchs of faith, defenders of the faith, which was what the monarchies were, they referred to themselves as defenders of the faith. That was what a king's job was. Number one, defender of the faith. Why do you think at the top of the list of the Khazar communist Bolshevik Jews, at the top of their list of things to destroy in Christendom, were the monarchies? Have you ever stopped to think about that? You know, you're propagandized and trained to ruffle up your feathers and boast that you will never have a king over you. Do you ever wonder who's doing that to you? Did you ever wonder what was the reason for that? Why would you rebel against a righteous king? Also, I would ask, what are you going to do when Yeshua sits on the throne? Tell him, no, I said I would never bow to a king. Really? Let me know how that works out for you when he sits upon the white throne and you're standing in front of him, and you're going to give him crap over the fact that he's made himself a monarch. So right here in Proverbs 28, we find out that our people in rebellion, and when we're in rebellion, our lands have many rulers. What do you call the swamp in D.C.? You got close to 600 people trying to dictate policy to 360 million people, or whatever the population is now. We really don't even know what the population is because we have so many undocumented invaders here. All right, so we've got a land as big as the United States of America with millions upon millions of people, free men and women upon the land, allowing a oligarchy in the swamp in D.C. to rule over us. So in rebellion, Yahweh's people have decided to allow an oligarchy to perform as a dictator because, by God, we won't allow a righteous ruler known as a monarch to make our decisions, to make governing of the land possible. And right here, the formula for our success is in there. A man of understanding and knowledge. Nowhere in the Bible does it condone dictatorship, okay? Everybody thinks immediately that a monarch is a dictator. That's because they're silly, uneducated, and never take time to think things through. A monarch is not a dictator. They are completely different things. A righteous monarchy is a biblical form of government for a reason, because it can withstand the machinations of the wicked much better than a land that's ruled by many, because the many are perverse and degenerate, and in many times either blackmailed or bribed. And what do you have in the white nations today? You have many rulers, most of whom are not of your race, not of your faith, not of your history, not of your culture. They are, in fact, traitors. Okay? They are traitors, both to your race and to everything you stand for. So in this verse, if we paid attention, we have a lot of wisdom in there. Righteous standing, bold as a lion. What are most of our white people today? Cucks. Soy boys and girls. Let's all just get along to go along kind of people. And yet he tells us to be as bold as a lion. And follows it right up in with the verse 2, in rebellion. Yeah, our people are in rebellion, all right. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth about the marital situation and what marriage is supposed to be all about. No. They don't want to hear about, ladies, you should be at home taking care of your families, taking care of the household and the family. That's a full-time job. Anybody that says it's not has never done it. Or, I should say, has never done it correctly. Okay? I know women that used to sit on their ass watching soap operas all day, eating bonbons, gaining 60 pounds, turning into wildebeests. That's not doing it correctly. Keeping a home in proper shape, properly stocked with food, keeping the linen clean, cleaning the house, making sure everything is ordered, preparing food, preparing meals, that takes a lot of effort to do it right. What do we do today? We acquiesce and say, well, the ladies say, well, I want to go out into the workplace in rebellion. The men say, we will not have a monarch. We will not have a king or a monarch in rebellion to Yahweh's wisdom. We will not follow the biblical laws as far as marriage and plural marriage. Oh, no. We can't have that. We're going to follow what Satan's kids tell us, and we're going to practice serial polygamy instead of parallel in rebellion. Does father condone serial polygamy, meaning marry one, divorce her, marry another, divorce her, marry another, sleep with this one, leave him, go with that? That's serial. That means in a row instead of parallel, meaning all at the same time. Okay, so what do? We're in rebellion about everything today, aren't we? We don't listen to what he said about the food laws. We don't watch what we put in our children's bodies. We're vaccinating them. We have no clue what's in that serum that they're sticking in our child's arm. We just do it. Like cucks. Like little soy boys and girls. Cucks are what the white race has become. Give me just a second. I want to type something in here. Ah, okay. Just wanted to set the name for a number that just popped up. Okay, very good. So we have a new listener from Nashville area. So welcome to the program. So again, Proverbs 28. Proverbs and Psalms are probably two of the best books of the Bible. In fact, years and years ago, I bought a book, a little booklet that you could carry in your knapsack or your backpack, whatever. It's a very small book, but it was strictly the Psalms and Proverbs. That's all. And they sold it that way because if you just studied the Psalms and Proverbs, and just the Psalms and Proverbs, you'd be amazed how much wiser you would be. The wisdom in those two books is beyond belief. Beyond belief. As in here, Proverbs 28, how much wisdom there is in just that short two verses in Proverbs 28. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If we could get the basics right. We've even talked about the fact that the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, we call it, we can't even get those right. I'm still waiting 19 years later for somebody to call in and tell me what part of Scripture are we doing correctly. I'm still waiting to hear about that because as I read the book, I don't see where we're doing anything correctly today, and we wonder why things are the way they are. Our sons and daughters are not taught how to be proper men and women. We're allowing race mixing. We're allowing queers. Now we're even allowing transgenderism, even down to the age of 11 years old. And then we let some monstrous hag like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Jewess, the Jew hag on the Supreme Court, even entertain the idea that there should be no age limit on having sex with children. Unbelievable what's in front of our faces. And now the Jew governor of New York and the crypto Jew in Virginia signed legislation that you can even end the life of a child once it's born and still call it a, quote, legal abortion. Legal infanticide. And yet, where's the outcry from the pulpits of America? Where? Like I said, the white race have become cucks and soy boys and girls. They don't stand for a damn thing. It's absolutely appalling what is going on in this country. Now, I did have a verse here also I want to read out of Titus chapter 2. And the reason for that is because I watched a short video by a police officer who had died twice, not because of gunshot wounds or whatever, because of health issues. And during his time of being code blue, which the hospital code blue is, you have ceased to breathe and are dying, he had visions of Messiah and what the Messiah had told him. And it sort of plays in with what we're talking about today as far as time is running out. And indeed it is. Judgment's coming. We've been talking about that for quite some time. Again, in man's years, it seems like it's forever. In Yahweh's time, this is a short span of time, okay? Because a lot of people are sitting back, well, yeah, you've been telling a long time, Dan, about the financial collapse and blah, blah, blah. And it's not quite here yet. You're living in it, folks. You're living in it, okay? Your dollar is nearly valueless. Your morals have been sinking year after year after year. It's just that it's like a boiling frog or the frog in a boiling pot of water. They're turning the heat up slow enough that you don't even realize it. But if you step back and take a look at how things were a mere 10 years ago, 20 years ago, etc., you'll see that a lot has happened very quickly. You're in the middle of it. Titus chapter 2. It's a short chapter, so we're going to read the whole thing here. But say the things which fit sound doctrine, that older men should be temperate, sensible, sober-minded, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The older men, what are they? The elders, the graybeards we used to call them. Why? You lead by example, that's why. The youth of today are as screwed up as they are because we don't have examples. They're told to look up to sports figures and Hollywood celebrities and politicians. Well, that's three of the worst sorts of people. Worst, not best, worst. Verse 3, and that older women likewise be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, which means overindulgence of alcohol, teachers of that which is good, that's it. They should be good examples as well, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste. We sure as hell don't have that anymore. Workers at home. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What about all those Bible-carrying females that are in the workplace? I guess they don't read the Bible, do they? Oh, that's right. Nobody reads anything anymore. The last thing they're going to pick up and read is the Scriptures. So workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands. Uh-oh. Where's the church and all the pew setters with the feminist movement? That Yahweh's word may not be blasphemed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't got that one right either. Likewise, exhort the younger men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself an example of good works. Now, what's the modern-day church telling you? Oh, works doesn't matter. Just say the sinner's prayer and be baptized in the Holy Spirit and put some money in the plate on your way out the door, Fred. And you're good to go. In your teaching, showing integrity, seriousness, incorruptibility. Can you say Rhadamanthine? And soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. That he who opposes you may be ashamed. Uh-oh. He who opposes you may be ashamed. I can't tell you how many times I've come up against the Edomite Jew in either courtrooms or even at workplaces and all that. And they are ashamed when they realize you know the truth. That you can look right through them. Your eyes are like the eyes of Christ. Remember, he said you can do the same things he did, only more so. The Jews can't stand the stare of a righteous man of Yahweh. It also applies to the women, but particularly the men. The men are the warriors, whether you like to hear it or not. They cannot stand the piercing eyes of righteous indignation in the Aryan warrior. They cannot look at you. I gave the story of when I challenged the assistant prosecutor in a absolutely corrupt county on the East Coast. Absolutely and completely corrupt. And he was trying to tell me and talk down to me as if I had no choices in any matters, etc., etc. And I just looked at him and said, basically, you're a liar. I said, I write procedures for a living. I know exactly how procedures work, and you people write them too, and then you choose to disobey them when it suits your purpose. I said, so you'll do what I ask, or we will end this conference today. He could not look me in the eye. Now, I didn't have a mirror, so I have no idea what my eyes looked like, but I've been told by family members, especially my children, that there is a terrifying look when an Aryan man that still has testosterone in his veins, when his anger rises up within him and his righteous indignation rises up. We can take a lot, we Aryan men. We have a lot of patience. That's one of the attributes of an Israelite. We have a lot of patience. But when you push us past the limit, all hell will break loose. And that applies to us as individuals, but it also applies to us as a group of people. And the world is about ready to find out about what happens when the Saxon learns to hate. As Rudyard Kipling, the poet, in his famous poem, When the Saxon Learns to Hate, you should read it if you haven't read it lately, because you're about to witness it. So that he who opposes you may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about us. You see, that's why Satan's kids want you to indulge in all of the blasphemies, so that it is you who stands before Yahweh ashamed instead of our accusers being ashamed. Exhort servants to be in subjection to their own masters. Now, people talk, say, well, that sounds like the Bible's condoning slavery. Well, you got to remember, they didn't have a word for slavery. Doulos in the Greek language just meant that you had somebody in authority over you. You could have been a servant because your tribe, your people, whatever, lost in a battle, and now you are under the authority of the master of the house. It could be a wife. She's under the authority of the man of the house. She is also referred to as a doulos. The children are referred to as doulos as well. They're under the authority of both their mother and their father. So doulos just simply meant you had somebody in authority over you. So exhort your servants or your doulos to be in subjection to their own. They have masters here, but that's a bad translation. It would be just basically to your own authoritarian figure, whoever it is. For us men, it's Yahweh himself. For the men of Yahweh, the righteous warriors, Yahweh is our king and our commander, and he is the one to whom we will answer. And to be well pleased in all things, not contradicting. What's contradicting today? We got these blasphemous whores in churches preaching Yahweh's word, or at least a semblance of it. And then they proceed to be the hypocrites that they are and turn their backs on the murdering of children, the race mixing, the queers, and everything else. Unbelievable. Not stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of Yahweh, our Savior. Yahweh, our Savior? I thought Jesus was my Savior. Could this be referring to the fact that Yeshua was Yahweh in a flesh body? Do you think? Maybe? The doctrines of Yahweh, our Savior, in all things. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. Mark it down. Go read it. It'll tell you who's our Savior. For the grace of Yahweh has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Uh-oh. All men, church world says, that's everything walking on two legs with an appendage. No, that's not what it's talking about. To all men of our race. You got to remember, these books were written to a particular group of people. Yahweh's chosen, his precious ones, his anointed ones, not to the entire world. Instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We sort of missed the boat on that one too, didn't we? Looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great Elohim God and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos, Joshua the Anointed, because that's actually his name. In anglicized form. Joshua. Not Jesus. Not any of these other names. The closest thing in English is Joshua. The Anointed. See, we can't even get anything right. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people for his own possession. Zealous for good works. Oh, here we go again. There's that nasty word works. I thought I could sit on my ass and I just say the sinner's prayer and I claim to have the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? I can't sit here and watch TV every day? I can't sit here and play on the computer every day? I can't go to work and just come home and take a nap, eat my dinner, and veg out in front of the television every day? I actually have to do works? Say these things and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no man despise you. Let no man blaspheme you or put you down for reminding them that works are important. Again, that was Titus chapter 2. But this video by the police officer was very, very interesting. That he had this vision talking to Messiah. This was a few years ago. And he said, at first he told him not to tell anybody about his vision. And then several years later he was told to go ahead and start to tell him. He said, because most of them aren't going to want to hear it. And that included a lot of churches and preachers. Did not want to hear a message from a man who had actually crossed over temporarily the river and spoke with Messiah himself. They didn't want to hear it because his message was, I'm coming soon and judgment is coming with me, and yet my church lives as if I'm not coming. Can you say that is the condition of the white race in the white nations today? Yeah, that's exactly where we're at. They live as if they're not. I'll tell you what. Our people today, they live not only as if he's not coming yet, they live as if he does not even exist, meaning Yahweh El Shaddai. That's how our people live. There is no accountability. There is no one taking note of their activities, the things they say or do. That's how they live. That's why the scripture tells us one of the signs of a true conversion is a changed life. A changed life. No change, no conversion. So, there are many people among our race who say, well, I'm a believer and I read the word, blah, 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 and then they proceed to act and behave as they always have. No change, no difference. They talk the same, they dress the same, they do the same things. No repentance, which means to change the way you think. Redirect your thinking, redirect your priorities. No signs of that. And yet they actually believe they're going to make it. We actually have some of these pew setters today that think there's such a thing as a rapture. That's another of their misgivings. They actually think not only do they not have to change the way they behave, dress, act, do, say, raise their family, they don't have to do that. They don't have to get involved with this sick, demented world that we've got because they've got tickets on the rapture train. And they're not going to be here much longer. I've actually heard them say that. These lazy, good-for-nothing, lukewarm bags of bones with no spirit with them whatsoever. They are the valley of dead and dry bones that Ezekiel talked about. You don't have to go any further than any shopping mall or a whitewashed sepulcher called a church, and this includes especially the Roman Catholic Church. You don't have to go any further but then to those two areas and you will see the dregs of society. And some people would say, well, Dan, you left out the bars. No, I've actually found more faith and more righteous thinking in people at bars than I have the prostitutes and whores in churches, and the materialistic snobs and cucks that propagate through shopping centers, because that's their church. where they can buy toys and they can buy things. That's where they go to feel good with their God, buying the electronic toilets, the flat screens, and all the other things that Satan provides for your entertainment. So that, in a way, is their church. Real men don't want to go to either one of those places. And that's why I say, I have found more real men of Yahweh in bars than I have in churches, and most certainly than I have in any kind of shopping center or shopping mall. Time is running out. And as this man said in his vision, I can believe Yahshua did talk to him and tell him to warn the people in the whitewashed sepulchers. I would not want to step foot in one of them. That's not my calling. Most of them are apostate. They are the lukewarm that Yahshua said, I will vomit out of my mouth. And because of our inactivity and the fact that we bought into the big lie that works don't matter, the whole world is literally going to hell, and so few people seem to even give a damn. And they seem to think that, well, we'll just pray about it. Well, I like to point out the fact that King David prayed before his combat, as all good soldiers should pray, as they pick up their weapons to do in the wicked and the evil ones. I would pray for good aim so I don't waste my ammunition, that every bullet fired would find its target and take out an enemy. That's what my prayer would be, just as King David prayed that the rock would find a soft spot in the armor of Goliath. And it did, right between the eyes. You see, the enemy has an Achilles heel. Every enemy has an Achilles heel. Their mind control and their propaganda is such that they want you to believe that they're invincible. Oh, they've got drones, and they can see through walls, and they've got every conversation, every dirty picture you've looked at, every text to a girlfriend, everything you've ever done. Oh, shame on you. Who the hell cares? Bring it on. You say you've got more nukes than you could destroy the earth 10, 20, 30 times. All right, bring it on. I'm not going to believe your propaganda anymore. Because you all, meaning the swamp creatures, the Satanists, the degenerates out there, you have an Achilles heel. You are not invincible. You want us to think you are, but you are not. You are not. Yahweh said that he would come back on a charger for war with his vestment dipped in blood, and that there would be a sword proceeding from his mouth, a sharp, double-edged sword. What do you perceive that to be in this day and age? Not that the real swords aren't necessary. Every good believer should be armed and trained in the use of those arms. You can't just own it. It's just like the Bible. It doesn't do you a damn bit of good if you're just sitting it on the shelf to collect dust. The scriptures don't mean anything to you. You have not put them into use. Weapons sitting in a closet, never being used, aren't going to do you a damn bit of good when the day of the turmoil and trouble come. You have to keep them properly cleaned. You have to show the family members how to properly handle them and how to hit what you're aiming at. That is not a suggestion. That is a commandment. That is why the New World Order doesn't like the fact that we have an army in the United States of America that ranges anywhere from 40 to 70 million strong. And that is the hunters, the veterans, former police, militia, and citizen soldiers. armed. That's a huge army. You know, they want you to quake at the idea that the Chinese can put 2,500,000 soldiers in the field. Yeah, they can. They can. They're not all going to be equipped properly. They're not all going to be their very best. But they can put bodies in the field. And that 2.5 million man army is going to get chewed up in a meat grinder called the American wilderness, the American foothills, the American plains, where the American soldier, I'm talking about the real soldiers, not the ones that for money and profit and promotion do what the New World Order says. They're not real soldiers. They're mercenaries. Mercenaries will find no mercy from Father when he shows up. Mercenaries are nothing more than murderers. When you do something, even though you've got a uniform on, whether it be a police officer or a soldier, if you do an immoral act, if you take a life, and it's not for a righteous cause, then you're no different than a jihadist, terrorist, thug, murderer, thief. That's all you are. You're a merc, a mercenary. You spill blood, many times innocent blood, for money. What happened to Judas, who spilt the blood of Messiah for 30 pieces of silver? What happened to Judas? Yeah, he died. Very suddenly and very violently died. Do you think there's a lesson in that, mercenaries? You should listen to the testimony of Cody Snodgrass, who was a mercenary for the CIA as a contractor, who was approached to pull off the bombing of the Murrah building in Oklahoma City, and then he turned it down, and they turned on him for doing that. Listen to his testimony of what life was like as a mercenary. And you tell me they don't exist? Sure they do. And they're cold-hearted, soulless, no conscience, murderers. That's what they are. Now, just because the United States government, under the control of their Zionist masters, told them to go do it, doesn't justify it. It doesn't give them forgiveness for committing murder just because they got paid to do it, just because they had some kind of piece of paper from the U.S. government saying they had permission, just like these guys spraying the skies. When judgment comes, they'll be hauled in front of the tribunals as well. Just because you're getting a paycheck doesn't mean you're allowed to commit violence against the innocent. Judgment's coming. Time is running out. That's why I found what the police officer had to say about his near-death experience to be quite interesting, because we've talked about it on this radio show for a long time. We can go, in fact, if you want to see that, go to the YouTube and type in Steve Mack 88, and that's all together, no spaces. Steve Mack, M-A-C, 88. And there may be other channels that have a copy of it as well. In 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at 16, "But if one of you suffers for being a believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Yahweh in this manner," or in this matter, excuse me. "For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of Yahweh." For judgment to begin with the household of Yahweh. If it begins first with us, what will happen to those who do not obey the gospel of Yahweh? If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, there we have that word saved again. What's the church world tell you? Oh, salvation is coming down and saying the sinner's prayer and laying hands on you. That's not what the Greek word meant. Soter means to be saved from physical harm, here and now. It's got nothing to do with a, quote, hereafter. It's all about here and now on earth. So if it is hard for the righteous to be saved from physical harm and thieves and mercenaries and corrupt government, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? The sinner being, of course, those who violate Yahweh's law. The hospitals are full of sinners. Well, what do you mean by that, Dan? The hospitals are full of people who violate God's food laws. So, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly? They'll be in the hospitals with tubes hooked up to them and life support because their bodies are deteriorating because they have no nutrition. Their immune systems are wrecked because of vaccines, poisons, glyphosate, GMO food, hybrid seeds, and on and on and on. How will the godly, ungodly, and the violators of Yahweh's law be saved? They won't be saved. They will die slow, painful deaths. Do they have to? Absolutely not. Is the truth out there? Sure is. But they don't want the truth. Tickle my ears. Tell me sweet-sounding things. Don't tell me about that truth. I can't eat pork. I can't eat shellfish. Oh, I might as well die. I love eating that stuff. Well, friend, you just go right on and keep eating it. But please, don't cry to me from your hospital bed that I or my family should give up money to pay for your extremely obscene, expensive hospital bills. When me and my family took the time, effort, and expense to seek out the better food and to follow our king's orders on what to put in our temples. We followed those rules. It wasn't always easy. It's not always easy having to spend hours in the supermarket hunting and hunting and hunting to find what little is actually real food there, or is at least as close as possible. No, it's not easy to scour the countryside finding a family farmer somewhere that still does it the old-fashioned way, raises his animals humanely and organically. He doesn't hybridize them or pump them full of herbicides and antibiotics and hormones just to make more money. No, it's not easy. But what is the blessing for doing it? The same kind of blessing for walking in Yahweh's law. It's not always easy, is it? No, it's not. But it's a light burden. As he said, I put this upon you not because I hate you, not because I want to make your life miserable. I give you these rules to make your life better. So you don't have to suffer. Why do we suffer the swamp in D.C. when that scripture we just read says that the rebellious have many rulers? Where in the scripture does it support a Congress, an executive, and Supreme Court? Where in Scripture does it support that? Everything in Scripture I've read, everything that I've read about the history of our people says that he supports a righteous monarch, a king and a priest in one. And you are supposed to elect him. He doesn't claim the title came to him from God. You elect him because you've watched him as a young man grow up. You watched what his family's like. You've seen him in his home. You don't need fakes and frauds and players, folks. You need genuine Rhadamanthine men. And when you find the guy that can walk the walk and talk the talk at the same time, when you find the man who has righteousness on his mind, you make him your ruler. Just as you do Yahshua HaMashiach in your own personal life. Because he is your example. What is the ruler of our people supposed to be? An example for the young men and the community at large. An example of righteousness, courage, integrity, and good character. That's your job, folks. You see, everybody wants to have the ability to sit on their ass and not get involved. No, that's not Yahweh's way. Every one of you has a job to do. And for you men, it's not only to be warriors, but you're supposed to pick your commanders very, very carefully. You don't just pick up your weapons and go to war simply because some asshole out of Washington, D.C. says so, or out of your state capitol, or out of the sheriff's office. You're supposed to judge them first. You don't pick up a weapon to be used on another individual unless you make sure the people giving the orders have the right heart and the right motives. That's your job. No piece of paper can exonerate you from that. No piece of paper can take away your responsibility. No order given from any office takes away that responsibility. So you want to see the lands of the Aryan people, the righteous Israelites of old? You want to see your lands return to godliness and prosperity? Then you better go find your monarchs. You better go find your military commanders who will be men of integrity that walk among you. That's who you should be looking for right now. You're still looking to the same cesspool to fix our problems that created our problems. That's your problem, folks. That is your mistake, white man and white woman. You're not obeying the Father. You're not even close to obeying the Father. First of all, you better look in the mirror and find out where your faults are and start fixing them. Then you better start looking around your household and putting it in order. And then the men need to get together and figure out who are our leaders. Who are the men worthy of following amongst our people as military commanders and as civil authorities? King David is our perfect example in flesh. Yahshua is our perfect example in totality. But King David in the flesh is the example. First and foremost, he loved Yahweh above all things. And no, he was not a perfect man. But he was trained. He was skilled. He was a good monarch and a military commander. He had a heart of compassion when needed, but he also could put a sword through an enemy at the same time. That's the kind of men you need to be looking for. And you're not doing it. You're still looking for these weak cowards, players, freaks in Washington and in the state capitals to solve the problems. They created the problems, folks. And you think they're going to fix the problems? And the same thing goes for the world. Why are our European cousins looking to the EU, an unelected group of misfits out of Brussels trying to dictate policy? They're no different than the swamp we have here, an oligarchy of misfits. Canada's got its own oligarchy of misfits. At the top of it is that Trudeau character. What a piece of garbage that son of a bitch is. Angela Merkel, another traitor, not of our kind. Theresa May, another traitor, not of our kind. Macron, another traitor, not of our kind. And yet you still beg government that created this mess to fix your problems. You've created a false god. You're idol worshippers. You created an idol. A new god. Little g god called government, which is in league with the central bankers. Now, lately, some of the young men that have put YouTube channels together, I give them credit. They're starting to speak about things that we can do. We've talked the problems to death. What are the things we can do? and they're starting to get the message. We can tune out these bastards that have created the problem and stop giving them our allegiance. For instance, when they make a law that says we cannot boycott and divest and sanction Israel, then that's exactly what we should do. It's called civil disobedience. They had no right to make that law. It's treason. What can we do? Turn off that Talmud vision called an electronic toilet and start studying. Make yourself a better person. Get an education. Learn a trade. Hell, you might even find some free time to open up the good book once in a while. Wouldn't that be something? You might actually have time to have a conversation with your neighbor. You might even have time to have a conversation with a family member. My God, is that a novel concept? You know, we keep blaming all this stuff that's being done to us by these wicked monsters that walk around us, and yet they only exist because we have not done our job. And Yahweh's thinning out our ranks daily. He's not going to go into this battle except with the best of the best. That's why he said, nothing that offends me will come into my kingdom. Nothing that offends me will be part of my army. You want to destroy the wicked? You want to be part of his righteous army? Well, then you better get in shape. Physically, mentally, spiritually, you better be armed. You better know the use of arms. Now, if that's difficult for you, either financially you can't afford it or you are afraid to be armed, that doesn't stop you from going somewhere to learn how to use them for when the time comes. Believe me, when judgment starts, there'll be weapons laying all over the place. The wicked are going to die. Many, many wicked will die. Their weapons will be easily picked up. But it does no good if weapons and ammunition are laying all around you and you don't know the difference between the weapons and what ammo it takes and everything else. Get trained. Learn how to sharpen a knife. Learn how to use a knife. I might recommend a good book that was written by a friend of mine, Michael Brown, from the great state of Missouri. He went to jail for blowing up an abortion clinic many years ago. But while he was in prison, he wrote the book Bloody Iron. And it's how he learned to fight with a knife. You'd be surprised what he says in the book. Again, our heads are full of Hollywood make-believe fantasy, absolute tomfoolery. Hollywood couldn't tell the truth about anything if you put a gun to their heads. So everything that you've seen on that flat screen about combat, weapons, knife fighting, you might as well erase it all because it's fictitious. Every combat person I know, from hand to hand, knife fighting, pistols, and rifles. People that I know have actually been there and done it will tell you that all of that Hollywood stuff is bullshit. You need to learn reality, folks. So if you want to know what it's like to actually get in a fight with somebody with a knife, just pick up a copy of Bloody Iron. One of the points that Mike makes in the book that I thought was very relevant is you never go into a knife fight with the idea that you're not going to get cut. That was an eye-opener for me. It changed my whole outlook to combat, hand-to-hand combat. He said you go into a knife fight with the idea that you are going to get cut because you will get cut. The whole object of a knife fight is to survive. That you will put your blade into your enemy in the right places and the right number of times that he dies, but you can go back and get patched up and live. That's the best that you can expect from a knife fight. So Mike also makes a very good point that you should avoid a knife fight if at all possible. Because of that reason, you are going to get wounded. You can count on it. The object is to survive. So, as he says in the book, and I agree with him completely, if you can escape it, you escape it by any means that you can. But if you're trapped and there's no way out, then he said, you go at it 100 miles an hour and just forget about the idea that you're going to do some fancy footwork or handwork to avoid an injury, because it's just not going to happen. So you might as well dive right in there and start plunging that blade into your enemy as fast as you can so that he bleeds out before you do. Simple as that, really. You can read the whole book. It's an interesting book. It's not very big, but it'll teach you a lot about what it means to fight with a knife. It's not what the movies portray at all. It's amazing. When you read and study, it's amazing how many things we've been lied to about. So it's not only history like World War I and World War II, but we've been lied to about almost everything. In Joshua chapter 24 at verse 15, we have one of the more famous verses of the Bible. And we should really, really ponder on this at this time. If it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father, which your fathers served, that are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. So choose this day whom you will serve, good folks. Are you going to serve the little g gods that your ancestors created, called the Federal Reserve Banking System, completely controlled by Zionist communist Jews? Centralized government created by monsters who pretend to be looking out for our best interests when nothing could be further from the truth. Little g gods called police stations and soldiers in uniform that you have to obey them no matter what they say. Really? Where's that written? Oh, I know they brainwash the cops and the soldiers to say that, you know, you're in the name of the state and we've given you, quote, a license to kill. Does the state have the right to give soldiers and police officers the quote, license to kill? Does the state have the right to do that? The very term license means that the state will give you authority to do something that would otherwise be immoral or unlawful. Ooh, did you think about that, folks? A marriage license, when it started out, was to give you permission to marry another race. It had nothing to do with a white man and a white woman getting together. Nothing to do with that. A license was required because it is immoral and unlawful, meaning against Yahweh's law, for one race to marry another race. Therefore, the requirement for a license. For a spy or a soldier or a police officer to take another life, sometimes the government wants you to kill innocent people. I told you the story about the sniper I met out in Iowa when he found out that he had killed people that were not bad people at all. But the government fills our young men's and women's minds with, but we can give you permission, a license to commit immoral acts. And I'm still waiting 19 years later for somebody to show me in Scripture where government, little g god government, has the authority to give any mortal man or woman permission to violate God's law. Somebody needs to show that to me, because I can't find it. I've been searching for it, but I cannot find it. So all of you people smarter than I am need to contact me and let me know where that's at. I read just the opposite. So again, we read in the scripture here where in Titus it says that we are to raise up our young men and women into right thinking, sober thinking, and in righteousness. Instead, we're allowing the government through government schools. That's another violation, by the way. Why the hell is government running schools? Why are we sending our children into institutions to be brainwashed by those who do not think the way we do? Why are you doing that? When I had my epiphany, I changed the last three of my children. There were six total, but the last three were homeschooled. And when homeschooling, or when it was available, because I traveled so much, they attended Christian academies. But when Christian academy was not available, that I liked anyway, then they were homeschooled. I'm going to tell you the difference between those three and the other three, as far as education is concerned, was night and day. Night and day. I had a woman from the state come out to the farm one time and said, you're homeschooling your children. I said, yeah. And she didn't tell me it was illegal, because it's not. But she tried to intimidate me. Well, aren't you concerned about the welfare of your children? I said, yeah, that's why I'm homeschooling them. Of course I'm concerned. Well, no, aren't you concerned that they're not going to be able to fit into society? I said, lady, what makes you think I want them to fit into with what this society has become? The people with their children watching Homer Simpson and Two Men and a Child, or whatever the hell the name of that goofy program was, and a host of others, Married with Children, another one, Archie Bunker, another one, on and on and on and on. I said, lady, I don't want them to fit in with that. I said, we go to all kinds of homeschooling functions, sporting events, concerts, plays. I said, where they interact with children that know how to think and have some kind of biblical training. I said, what on God's green earth makes you think I want them to fit in with that, with what's down at the public school? And then she left. It didn't work. But she did her best, because that's what she's trained to do, to try to intimidate and to make you feel guilty. And somehow that you're hurting the child by not allowing the beast system to inculcate their Satanism into your child. Here again, we've talked about it. Each of our people, meaning of our race, our culture, the children of Yahweh, the Israelites of old, has an obligation. You don't get to sit it out, folks. There is no fence setting. You're supposed to be not only looking into making yourself a better man or woman, but you're also to be looking into your child. Turning them over to the state is not an option. It really isn't. Not to a true believer. And where are the preachers? Where are the priests? Where are the pastors teaching that message? Where are they? Again, for 19 years I've been looking and I can't find it. Maybe that's why people are leaving the church finally. Maybe they are finally having a relationship with the Creator to where they realize the churches are full of hypocrites, the lukewarm, the very people Christ condemned in no uncertain terms. Now, we talked about the Proverbs and how much they teach you. James, which is actually Jacob, that was a mistranslation, another one. Chapter 1, verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. In other words, and I can attest to this for myself, he does not turn you down when you ask for help, folks. He just doesn't. Now, you have to be patient enough to understand that he'll do it in his time, not yours. No, he's not a genie in a bottle. He's not there at your pleasure. He will answer that prayer. If it's from your heart, it will be answered. But it'll be answered in his way and in his time. And it may not come out quite the way you prayed it, but he knows what's in your heart and what you want. And he'll get you there, but he's going to take the road that he decides, and he'll do it in his time. The problem we've got is too many people think Yahshua, Yahweh, is a genie in a bottle. No, he's not. Now, here's a verse that if we obeyed this verse, how many innocent souls would still be walking this earth? How many people would have lives of peace, prosperity, and good health versus the sickness and disease we see today? Luke chapter 12, verse 1, one of my favorites. Meanwhile, when a multitude of many thousands had gathered together, so much so that they trampled on each other. It sounds almost like a scene at one of these concerts, doesn't it? Only they were there to see Yahshua. Then he, being Yahshua, began to tell his disciples first of all. In other words, here's a whole mob of people trampling each other to hear what Yahshua's got to say. But he talks to his disciples first. He says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Some versions have leaven. This translation calling it yeast is actually a mistranslation. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You have to go to the Greek. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which are the Jews. The leavening process, if you had an exhaustive dictionary, you would find out leaven is anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. So he's telling you, beware of the little, small changes in your institutions, in your government, in your churches, in your schools, in your hospitals, in your finances. These small imperceptible changes being done by these Jews, which is hypocrisy. Why is it? Because the Jew never lives under the rules that he applies to the rest of mankind. We are cattle to these people. So their hypocrisy is that while they're telling you and me that we must accept 5G technology in Israel, they will not allow it. As Feinstein and Schumer and the rest of the Zionist communists in Washington are telling you that you shouldn't have the right to own a weapon, the Israelis are armed to the teeth. And even these hypocrite Jews in America either carry weapons or they have armed guards with them at all times. Hypocrites. While they're telling you to keep paying that god-awful income tax, which is unconstitutional and immoral, they themselves don't pay a damn thing. While they're telling you and your children to live on less and less every year, they are raking in through the back door and through fraudulent foundations millions and sometimes billions of ill-gotten gain while they are cruising around on yachts, flying first class, or on private planes, engaging in debauchery, including trafficking and organ harvesting and pedophilia, while they're telling you to be righteous and also to worship the Jew. Hypocrites. Comes from the Greek word Hippocrates, which was their word for an actor, a person on a stage, putting on a performance. So when a Jew gets in front of a camera and says, well, I'm an American, lie. I'm here for the good of the nation, lie. I'm not going to benefit from this. This is for your good, a lie. I'm not a dual citizen, a lie. I'm not a communist, a lie. You see how that works, folks? So right here, one verse, Luke chapter 12, verse 1. If our preachers were preaching the truth about the leavening process of these creatures who are not of our kind, they're not white, they're not Aryan, they are aliens. Racial aliens and ideological aliens, completely. If our preachers were teaching this, would it change the world? You better believe it. You better believe it. Now, I did read and watch a couple things that were talking Florida Maquis, and Maquis is a term that the French resistance used, so I think it's interesting that he lives in, I believe he lives in the northern part of Florida, but I'm not sure what part. But Florida Maquis is part of the veterans who are resisting this ungodly government and ungodly Pentagon that we have today. And he put out a video talking about weather warfare and a message to the preppers. Okay, we know a lot about preppers. There's a lot of preppers here in the state of Florida and elsewhere as well. But he talked about the fact this so-called Arctic vortex, probably geoengineered. But irregardless, this vortex, what would happen if you ran out of wood, no electricity, et cetera, et cetera? He makes a good point. He says, have your preparations, plans for your being prepared, do they include a scenario where there's absolutely nothing? No fuel for your generator, no electricity on the grid, no gasoline, no diesel? What would you do if a vortex came down and that was the situation? Now, when he was speaking about that, it dawned on me that we talk about our ARC project, and many times we've talked about what kind of housing would we build. And even Jimmy and his audience, which are with us again today, Bank versus UTV, and we give a shout-out to the folks in Tampa. We've talked about construction methods. Now, most of us here in Florida, we don't have to worry about super Arctic vortexes and whatnot. It gets a little chilly here, but nothing even remotely close to that. So it's not quite as important, but it's still the principle is the same. We've talked about construction methods, and Jimmy and I were even talking about the fact underground homes. Now, I'm not talking about caves. I'm talking about homes that are bermed over with soil, at least a couple feet thick. It can still be above ground and just covered with dirt. Okay, it doesn't have to be a cave. Everybody thinks it's a cave. No, it's not. I've seen beautiful homes, earth-bermed homes. You can look on the internet. It's got thousands of YouTubes on taking you on tours on how beautiful these homes are. Now, here, think about this just for a minute. If you lived in a bermed home built with modern materials like hempcrete and aircrete and all these wonderful things that are highly insulative, very strong, and yet friendly to the environment, things that Yahweh would condone, if you lived in a home like that, an Arctic vortex wouldn't even bother you. Well, Dan, what are you talking about? Because an earthen home like that is going to stay between 55 and 65 degrees with no wood, no electricity, no fuel oil, no gasoline, no diesel. You don't need any of them. It will naturally set at 55 to 65 degrees on the hottest summer day you've ever experienced or the coldest winter day. How about that? So while everybody's up in arms, Yahweh said, well, if you were thinking, men and women, if you were my children using the brain I gave you and you had enough courage to follow the right leaders instead of these pimps and whores that we've got today, you would be building homes that could survive. You would be building homes that don't even need to be on the grid. You can be on it if you want, but you don't have to be. So if the power company says, well, I don't like who you are, and I want to put a special meter on there, and you say, well, I choose not to even use your electricity then. Take your whole damn system off of here. That's what they don't want. They want you dependent on them. Yahweh said, you don't have to be. If you built your homes the way a true Aryan with any kind of common sense has, your homes would be almost maintenance-free and need almost zero energy to cool or to heat. It's that simple. It's that simple. But you choose instead to stay slaves to your little G-God. It's your choice, folks. It's your choice. Unbelievable. Anyway, I'm going to open it up. I'm going to see what our brother Jim here's got to say in just a second once I get the thing here to work. Brother Jim, welcome to the program, buddy.
Well, good morning, Dan. How are you doing this foggy, fine day? At least it's foggy up here in Tampa. It's still very thick out there. How about you down there?
It's sunny, a little cloudy, but sunny and clearer down here.
Nice, nice. Well, I'm waiting for the sun to come out. I like Sundays as a day of rest, but thank you for yet again a good show here. And I put a link in there on Bermed Homes. That is, you know, my favorite one. I used to have it on the show picture when I would rebroadcast to you. But, yeah, there's a lot we can do. And I found it interesting, the comment you made on marriage licenses, because that's something that that I personally have been fighting against for a long time. I don't need your permission to get married. And by the way, my birthday is in March, so I just paid my extortion fee to be able to have the little yellow sticker on my license plate. Life's good, huh?
Yeah. The little G God said you're good for another year, right?
Yeah. So, but yeah, Dan, you know, I listened. When I listen to your show, I make some show notes here, and you know, I didn't disappear, but I kind of gave it a rest to regroup. And I'm telling you, we can't give this up. There is a way to win this. I wish I could tell you why I'm so sure of that, other than my faith and belief. But you know, I'm still searching for what our next move is. You know, I'm prepared food-wise, ammunition-wise, weapon-wise, trained the best I can. God bless me with a piece of property that I can be safe and maybe give some friends some protection. But in my staff meeting this morning, I made a comment, and I think I made it on your Wednesday show. A year ago, we were all in disbelief, and 1 year later, now we have it to where we have our elected officials telling us, oh, it's okay to kill babies, and, mm-hmm. You know, I'm involved with the legal world, and our senior partner this morning said the same thing. If a mom gets stabbed or murdered and the baby dies, it's a double homicide. So help me logically explain how the governor of Virginia states that we're going to keep the baby comfortable until a decision is made. A decision by who? I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the reason I brought that up is 1 year from today, what's next? And I said in my staff meeting this morning, I said, well, what next? That we can murder our children up to the age of 18, and it's okay?
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, with the level of debauchery that we have today, God only knows what will be 6 months to 12 months from now. I'm at that point now, and I know a lot of Trump supporters aren't going to like hearing this, but I've reached that point where Washington, D.C. is a swamp. It's still a swamp. I don't see it changing. It's always nice to hope that there's a group of righteous men somewhere that want to fix things, but I'm not seeing it evidenced. Everything that we're being told is a, quote, report, and you couldn't handle it, so we have to keep it secret. That's right. The tactics of the enemy.
Right.
Okay?
Well, and see, therein lies, here's what frustrates me. We have the rule of law and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And it's like the rules on the top of the Monopoly box. They're clear and concise. Maybe there's some margin for discussion to reach it. But, Dan, if we go and stand up and say, look, we're over this, it's unconstitutional, we have to go through this process called the Ninth Circuit Court. And the very people that we have ail or remedy through are corrupt. So what is our option, Dan? I mean, it really comes down, all of this complicated stuff, even when you and I first met, it's very simple. The solution is written in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, even the state constitutions. But how do we mere mortals enforce those without having to go through some long process? I mean, if I want to bring a case matter before the Supreme Court, it could take 6 months before I even get a decision whether they'll hear it. See, that's what we have to change, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, and that's why I've said for years now, looking for solutions within the system, whether at the state level or the federal level, is useless. They've completely corrupted it, and this is getting down to the basics. And what are the basics? Is race, family, okay, whether it's an individual with his wife and children or groups of families, it's still the same thing. So race matters, family matters, and military might. It's when Lot was kidnapped, what did Abraham do? Did he get down on his knees and pray Yahweh to deliver him? No, Abraham went and got a bunch of men with swords and spears and shields, and they went in and massacred the people that kidnapped Lot and brought him home, okay? Joshua brought down Jericho. King David brought down the Philistines and other enemies of his people. Solomon did the same thing, okay? That's what we do. That's what white men do. When we determine that there is an injustice being done, we get together and we fix the problem ourselves. Our problem is that we think these creatures in Washington and Tallahassee are our people. One, most of them aren't white. Two, I guarantee most of them are not believers. So they have nothing in common with us. So for us to be looking to them for permission to protect ourselves and to fix the wrongs is ludicrous. They don't care. They help create the problems. And they're being paid to put us down.
Yeah, but see, knowing that, and you know my background's troubleshooting, and it just drives my mind nuts because there is a solution, but we're not able to utilize the very solution that was put into place when our founding fathers knew in their ultimate wisdom that this day would come. We cannot pick up the tools that binds this country together. And, you know, we got Gillette coming out with you know, it's not okay to be a man anymore, and all these soy boy commercials and mixed marriages. I mean, I don't watch TV, but in my radio business, I do run Fox and things as a kind of a fill-in with the chat rooms. And, Dan, look at the commercials. Everyone's a mixed family. We got the black daddy changing the diaper. White mommy comes in. We've got Geico has two soy boys walking their kids in the park, talking about how the wives are back building the new nursery out. I mean, how do we stop this?
I know you don't have the answer. I call it the walkaway movement. Okay, you heard about the walkaway movement for moderates to leave the Democratic Party, which is a complete communist front.
Yeah.
While we believers should be walking away, exactly as it says, to come out of Babylon, at some point we have to walk away from this. They're not our masters, okay? We did not give them permission. As Dr. Gifford calls it, we did not have informed consent.
Consent.
When they Right. When they created the birth certificate system and started putting our name in all capital letters, that was done in secrecy. That was a covert action to monetize us as chattel slaves.
Correct.
That's a fact, okay? We did not have informed consent. We were deceived. That's fraud. Therefore, the government in Washington, D.C. is fraud. The government in Tallahassee is fraud. And the government at the county level is fraud.
And
so,
city, too, if I may.
City
and of course
as
I,
well.
Yeah.
So the true Israelites need to decide when they've had enough and do what Abraham did when he left the land of the Chaldees, when Joshua led them over the Jordan River. It's no different than what our ancestors faced. When we men, and I'm talking about the men that still can think and still have testosterone and know that this is all total bullshit, everything going on is bullshit, we need to walk away from that. Because we, the white men who can still troubleshoot, engineer, design, build, fix, invent, we keep this civilization going. And if we walk away, this corrupt, degenerate system will feed upon itself for a while, but in the end, it will die. It'll die a natural death because they don't create anything except mayhem, mischief, murder, rape, lies, disease. That's it. That's all they create. The ones who have the gift from the Father are the white Aryan males, and that's a fact. And more white guys on YouTube channels are saying those exact words. They're finally starting to get it. We,
yes,
as my Navy buddy says, we white men are the prize. And the ladies need to pay attention to what I'm saying, the children need to pay attention, and you non-whites need to pay attention. Whether you like it or not, we are his chosen. We are the prize. And if the prize men will walk away from all of this bullshit, all the feminism, the Zionist bullshit, the worshiping of the false Jews, all the things that this renegade church out here, this apostate church is teaching, which is all lies, if we walk away, if we decide at some point we're just going to go somewhere and start all over again, what are they going to do? Because they don't know how to keep it running. Now, that's why
they're trying to develop
artificial intelligence. They think that by doing that, they don't need the white man. They'll get artificial intelligence to create new things and to fix things. I got news for them.
To do their dirty work, right.
And to do their dirty work, right. But I got news for them. It ain't going to work. Okay? I spent a lifetime reading procedures, calibrating equipment by procedures, and then later on writing the procedures myself. And I always wondered, why are they spending so much time and money having us write these really detailed procedures? Well, in the nuclear power business, the idea was that we can hire lesser qualified people and pay them less, and we'll pay these guys to write procedures like myself. Yeah, we'll pay them a lot of money to do that, but then we'll send them down the road because we don't need them. We'll have the procedures, and then we can hire people we can control easily and
exactly.
Pay them half.
You and I paid the price of time to learn and then the
right.
Time to polish, which is called, practice.
Yep.
Doctors in practice and attorneys in practice. Most engineers are in practice, and you and I have a personal friend, and I've got some too that, they take us, the seasoned practice ones. We want you to write down what you've learned, and then we're going to go ahead and bring in the lower paid guys. Oh, and thanks a lot there, Dan. Here's your 2-week severance.
Right. Yep. That's exactly what they think. And what I found out was that you can write. And we did try to write good procedures. I worked very hard to try to write the best procedures I could. But what you found out was, even if you had the best written procedure in the field, if you didn't have the innate ability and talent, you couldn't even follow the procedure. So it was not working. And I told him that you can't, here's what it was. When I came into the business, we spent a lot of time and money training the individual men. A lot of time to train the individuals. We did not rely on somebody writing a procedure. We relied on the guy having enough sense to know what equipment to get, what people to get involved on the job, what to tell the control room supervisor and the managers that we were going to do, how to get into the field and get the job done. We trained the man. We spent many years training our men on how to be proper technicians and engineers. Then they had the changeover. And when that happened, I told the managers, I even went up to vice president levels. I said, you know you're making a mistake, right? Well, no, what are you talking about? I said, you're trying to compensate with procedures because you don't want to spend the money to train the individuals. And you don't want to hire, because, see, they want to hire women and minorities. And you couldn't train them. And I'm being honest here now, because I tried when I was in the Air Force.
Well, and then you get the women and the minorities in, and if they don't do their job, then they either sue or they're protected. Well, you can't fire me.
Exactly.
You can't fire me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, case in point, let me give a quick sidebar here. Just recently in our community, we've had a lot of trouble with the mail. It's being delivered to the wrong addresses. The boxes are being thrown up on the porch instead of laid there gently. Mail just doesn't get delivered at all. All kinds of problems with the mail. So I go down to the post office because I had gotten a box that belonged to a woman that lived almost a half mile from here, not even in this community. So I took the box to the post office and I said, I don't know who you have delivering the mail. I said, but this isn't even close. And she looked at the address and she looked at the manager who happened to be standing there. And she goes, yep, that's Route 40 again. And she goes, what's your address? And I said what it was. And they says, you know, this is about the third one in the last day or so. And this is continuing to be a problem. So they called the carrier up to the front. And guess who the carrier was? A young millennial Latino boy who looked like, and when I've seen him drive by, he's got his earbuds in, doing something with his iPhone, okay? He's not paying attention. He's in a big hurry. They're in such a hurry, they won't even put the flag down on your mailbox. They don't want to deliver.
Yep.
They just throw the box up on the steps rather than come on up and knock on the door and all that. Okay, this is what they've got. Now, obviously, from the looks on all three people behind the counter's faces, I could tell this guy has been written up and in trouble for some time now. And yet, he's still there. Why? Because he's Latino and working for the post office. So that's where the state of the country has been. When I was a boy, if I had committed those kind of mistakes over a week or 2 weeks period, they'd have fired me without even hesitating.
I had a paper route, Dan, and yeah, if I didn't, you know, I mean, mistakes happen, but I get the newspaper just because it's an old tradition, and I'm going to cancel it now because I'm sick of it, but I've got, this place is heavily fortified with cameras, and I have literally seen exactly what you stated. They will throw the box from 10 feet away. They're too damn lazy to walk up, take pride in their job, gently put it down. Now, I know in shipping, you know, I mean, I don't know if any of you've seen the UPS centers and the FedEx centers. I mean, it's a menage of conveyors and drops and this, that, and the other. But it's a matter of pride. And my mail carrier is the same thing. They're either on the phone or they got the earbuds. Sometimes I can even hear the music. And I, too, am getting deliveries from, you know, I get my neighbor's mail constantly. My neighbor gets mine, and we're a normal neighborhood, so we'll just trade it off with each other. And I'll say something to the carrier. He looks at me like I could give two shakes of a rat's ass, buddy.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, if I walk, it's written, if I took my mail out of my box and I see it's for my neighbor and I do the right thing and I go over and I put it in their mailbox, you know, that's a crime.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you know, we don't enforce anything anymore, and we've talked about it on the radio now almost as long as I've been on the radio. There's no accountability at any level in this country, in any white nation. There's no accountability. Because if you had accountability, they can't promote the race mixing and the multicultural. Because if you had accountability, they wouldn't be around. Most of them would be dead, because if they committed murder, kidnapping, or rape, you execute them. So a lot of them would be dead, or deported, or in prison. And so they have to get rid of accountability.
Right. I tracked a package down in your neck of the woods, and it showed out for delivery. It was on the mail wagon at 7 a.m., out for delivery, and I tracked it. Then I got this, oops, there's a delay in the delivery. And then it said available at 6:30 p.m., plus or minus a couple minutes. It was available for pickup at the post office. So what happened? And even here, you know, I mean, I'm here 24/7, and I headed out with this gay postal service guy. He goes, well, I don't deliver to businesses on Saturdays. And I said, well, I'm open on Saturdays. Why won't you? I just won't deliver to businesses on Saturdays. It's a post office regulation.
Right.
We get mail at the law firm on Saturdays.
Right.
And, it's lazy. It's lazy. Typically, the guy working on Saturday, and see, I don't know if you'd understand, but at least here, my carrier is a contractor. Yeah, he drives a mail truck, but they bid on the routes. So I'll say I'll do the route for $30,000 a year. I don't know why they're doing that, but there's no more postal uniforms, at least here. These guys are wearing, you know, one guy got out, I only saw him once, but he had his pants around his ass and his BBDs hanging out. That's the United States Post Office?
Yeah, it's sick.
Well, we have got to get our pride as men, as a country back. And I'm thirsty for solutions, Dan. You know I stand ready. I love the group that we have. There's not enough of us, and we're so scattered. I am blessed that we do have some good men here in the state of Florida, but we're still hours away from each other. I don't know, Dan. I'm thirsty for solutions. I've had enough, as you and I've talked about since I've known you, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have had enough. And I'm with you on the walk away, but, you know, let's go back to the Florida project for a minute. And, you know, it's kind of fresh on my plate lately. I've been working on some international telecom projects, and I'm writing procedures and security. You know, you can't touch our computers, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And doing it with a foreign country is almost a joke. But, you know, let's say we go get 300 acres, for example. And we set up our solar, and we set up our own water and natural gas, maybe if it's available or whatever. We grow our own food. You know damn well that they are going to mess with us. And if we push back hard enough, it could turn into a Waco situation. And, you know, that doesn't cause me to say, no way, I'm not touching it. But you know damn well. That's going to be, you know, us setting up a like-minded community and giving people tasks. You know, the ladies have their tasks. The men have their tasks. We grow our food. We cook our food. We refrigerate our food. We're self-contained. You know damn well they're not going to let us do that.
Well, it won't be a question. When the time comes, it won't be a question of them letting us do anything, okay? By saying letting them, we're transferring authority to them. They don't have authority. They have guns. They have beguiled the sheriffs and police officers and soldiers into thinking that they have authority, but in reality, no, they don't. All they've got is deceived men and women in uniform with guns. Period.
Well, I get that part, and when I say letting us, you know, we're on the same page there, but at the end of the day, they've got the badge, they've got the gun, and as soon as we look at them crossways, it's going to turn into Waco, too. I mean, I'm not being a pessimist here,
But well, I disagree. I don't think it would, for a couple reasons. One, Waco was not a community of people following God's law. They weren't. Now, did they deserve to have done to them what was done to them? Absolutely not. It was murder. Okay, but they were not following the Father's laws. Okay, I know that for a fact. It was a setup from the beginning. David Koresh was probably on the take, part of it, just like McVeigh was in with the CIA. So they're either stooges, faked their deaths, whatever, but they were part of the setup. All right,
right.
So that's complete. They did that for the show. All right, they're not going to get the same cooperation with our people. Okay.
I am not saying Koresh was a good guy, but I'm also saying when I use the term Waco, that was also, it was also, in my humble opinion, made to give, to put the fear in anyone that wants to set up a
exactly.
their own community. Yeah,
exactly. That's my point. That they want us afraid to do what we should do, which is to organize, not in big groups, but encampments where we have decided to live according to his law, grow
right.
our own food, raise our own animals, live off the grid as we were told to do. They fear that. That's why they pulled those stunts off. They fear white men and women with weapons who have said, I've had enough and we're walking away. That is what they fear, because they need us to be good slaves. They're scared to death of us doing
that. Well, do you see all this works hand in hand? Do you think that it is such go time that, I mean, these egregious matters that have occurred even in the recent weeks, Dan,
right?
It's almost like they could care less. What they used to hide it, and now it's right out in our face. And I'm telling you, this State of the Union thing on Tuesday is going to be very interesting, in my opinion. And I bet old Nancy and Chuck are shaking in their boots because, and I don't know if it's theatrics, and I'm with you too, you know. If we had Hillary in there right now, I don't know that we would even be on this call. But there's a much more sinister play going on behind the curtain. I just don't know how much more worse it can get.
Well,
you see my point? I mean, I think we're at a boiling point of some
sort.
We are
at a boiling point. Yeah, we are. And you know, this is where Jay with Downtown White Police, who's also another brother from Florida, I believe he was correct in his assessment now. Now that we've given him a whole full 2 years plus, I believe his assessment to be true. The whole Trump thing, the whole Q thing, was to buy another 2 years for the new world order to get things in, to get it situated. Here's why I think that. If Hillary had been elected, it was obvious, even to non-trained observers, it was obvious that this country would have boiled into a civil war. It would have easily done that if Hillary had gotten in. They're not stupid. They know that.
So the bone
that they threw us was a guy like Trump coming out of nowhere saying, they know, they listen to all of our communications. Go watch Cliff High. I'm not saying
yeah.
I agree with everything he says, but go listen to what he says, because he is an example of what they're capable of doing. That was his job, was to design algorithms that will pull in and data mine all of our emails, texts,
yep.
phone calls, and to ascertain what's on our mind. It just reminds me of the movie V for Vendetta. There's a scene in there where they've got the van going along and it's listening to the phone calls, listening to the television stations, listening to the conversations, and they're right there in the movie. See, they put it in front of your face what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
They knew.
Yeah.
By monitoring our communications, they knew that we were ready to pick up our rifles and go into the streets if Hillary had been elected. They knew that. So they had to put together a secondary plan. They won't accept it. Hillary would have definitely taken us right into the pits of hell, no doubt about it. But they realized that there was a large segment of America that still believes still carries weapons, still believe in the Constitution. That was dangerous. They needed another couple years to put some more stuff together and to delay us walking away and picking up our rifles. And so here comes Trump. Here comes Q. Everything's behind closed doors. Gitmo. Why does it got to be Gitmo? Well, because we can't verify Gitmo. All right? Because that's the first question you should ask. Why the hell are we going to adjudicate criminals in a foreign country? Well, that's because
you and I
don't have the means to verify.
Well, okay? And there's credible intel that Gitmo got a huge facelift. It looks like a Marriott club, from what I'm told.
The whole point of it is, though, this is all, as far as I'm concerned, this is all staged until somebody's going to have to do a lot of convincing, because I'm in Jay's camp now. I think I'm done with the whole Trump, Q, White Hats, the alliance, they call it now, the alliance that's going to come in. And we got people from outer space helping us. I've heard every story under the sun. The Bible doesn't talk about any of that. Can the Father send angels to help us? Absolutely. Angels can take the form of men or supernatural beings. It doesn't matter. They're all called angels, messengers. Can Father do that? Yeah. If Father does it, that's one thing. But telling me that there's a bunch of aliens from another planet that are here and they want to see the human race come out of this, no, I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I'm going to say that what has worked in the past will work now. Common sense says it. Occam's razor supports it. Rational thinking supports it. And Scripture supports it. And that is, we men get together and decide which way we're going to go. And we men get together with weapons. This is warfare. We're beyond fixing the problem. You can't fix America. It's gone. The court system is completely shot. The House of Representatives and Senate at the state and federal level, gone. When they say you can murder a child, if that doesn't tell you that it's gone, then you are dumber than a box of rocks.
Yeah, well, and that's what they want, Pastor Dan. And see, we can sit here and quote what we absolutely, in my heart, gut, and soul, know. And I'm right following your timeline. They have purchased 2 years of we need a plan. Now, let's take your theory, which is obvious to me as an engineer, the flowchart fits. What's next? I mean, and again, this whole abortion thing all by itself is a clue. It's a huge clue. And the thing is, there is a lot of people that weren't awake that are up in arms. They're calling for this Virginia governor to step down. I wouldn't be surprised if the Tar and Feather team doesn't come out against this guy. Same with what's-his-face up in New York. I mean, mm-hmm. Hey, Dan and Jim, we just passed a new bill that says we can walk in your house at any time we want. You're not allowed to have a lock on your door anymore, or you have to use our locks. Seriously. I mean, it's a year ago, that might have been speculation. What's next? And what is...
Hey, they already have that. It's called a no-knock warrant.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So you're living in Stasi Russia under the NKVD and the Stasi and the Cheka. All right, just watch videos and read books about how the Soviet Bolshevik Jew Cheka did what they did to the Russian people 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago. All right, it's the same tactics here, exact same tactics. So the Jew Bolshevik Rush did to the Russian Christian families exactly what they want to do to us here. Okay, and we're buying it. That's what's, you know, we should have been up in arms long ago. What do you mean no-knock warrants? Why? Because we watch television and we saw cop shows like NCIS and SUV or whatever the hell that's called, that special victim unit.
SVU. Or special crimes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, television shows are predictive programming so that when we see a bunch of hooded, masked terrorists in black uniforms, we're supposed to assume that they're police officers and that these are bad guys. That's what the predictive programming is. We have no idea. All right? Lon Hurucci's not white. He's not Christian. He's not even part of our culture, and he murdered Vicky Weaver and then went down to help murder the people at Waco. But could you identify him? No, he's wearing camouflage and a mask and a helmet, and you're assuming he's one of our guys. No, he's not. He's an enemy agent. Just like when the Mossad went up there and murdered Lavoy Finicum. Everybody says it was an Oregon State police officer. I doubt it. I think it was Mossad dressed up in Oregon.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay?
That's right.
So they murdered him because that's what the Mossad does. They murder people
exactly.
In cold blood. Okay?
Yep.
They couldn't trust white guys from Oregon to do it. So they put Mossad in there, dress them up like state police officers, and they go up and do what Mossad always does. They gun you down in cold blood. You're unarmed. That's what they do because they're cowards. Okay? They have no conscience whatsoever.
None of them do, Dan. How can this the Pelosi and the Schumers and these governors in these two states, and you know we're going to see more, they cannot have a conscience. And they sit here on camera. This guy in Virginia, you've probably seen it. He does a press conference. Well, we're going to deliver the baby, and then we're going to keep it comfortable. I wanted to, if my screens weren't so expensive, and I'm not a violent man, but I'd have put my right hook into my screen when I saw that.
Yeah, he's a degenerate. I mean, just look at him, okay? His body language, his voice, there is no soul in there.
None.
There's
none.
No soul
empty
in that
eyes.
Individual.
Empty
look in
eyes.
The eyes. Exactly. The eyes are the windows of the soul. Look in his eyes. No life. No life.
And then trying to talk us into it like it's okay. See,
that's our fault. That's what I'm saying. It's our fault. We need, here's what's going to happen, Jimmy. If we don't voluntarily come together as men, Yahweh's going to make things so nasty, it's going to push us into it. Okay, our men are slow to anger and slow to violence. That's the way we are. Okay? But if we don't stand up and do the right thing now, he's going to make it to where we're forced to do it.
Well,
we're
even in our
pushed.
Professional lives, Dan, you and I are exactly the same. We engineer, create, and then we have contingency plans. And if you know that that reactor is absolutely going to overheat and blow in 2 days, or I know that I've got a weak system here in my cloud network, and I just say, I'll get to it tomorrow. No. If I see a weakness in my business chain, I'm putting a new link in the chain right away, even if I could get another 6 months out of it. It's, hey, I see a problem. Let's fix it.
Right. Well, that's why I'm saying the machine is almost completely corrupt and broken down. Almost completely at every level. Like I said, we can't even get the mail delivered. That used to be one of the shining things in America was our mail
system.
Amen.
That's
okay?
Right. My dad's brother was,
He was
a postmaster across this fine country, and he was an Air Force intel guy, and he took his job serious.
Yeah.
He ran the main post office here, and he was a good guy to work for, but you did your damn job. Okay,
right.
And there ain't no earbuds in back then. But let's go from that into food. I mean, my God, we've got chicken nuggets being recalled with pieces of rubber. We've got romaine lettuce. We've got beef just got recalled. I know shit happens out there, Dan, but it's happening in just about every phase of human survival. You know, the truckers that I talk to on my shows, I've got several truckers that just have migrated towards my voice and on my show, and they want to strike, Dan.
They want
to use their voice by, and we have these conversations. Yes, that would be a good thing to do, except the good people that we're protecting, the men are protecting, that don't have a clue on this, they're eventually going to suffer, or they're not going to have a choice of healthy food. And I agree with what you said earlier in your show. When I shop, it's a hunt and peck at the grocery store or through anything.
Yeah, and
why
guess
are we
what
sending our chickens to China to be processed? Who in their right mind? But see, the chicken farmers have no choice. They sell their chickens to market. We boat whole live chickens, Dan, to China to be processed and sent back here. Who in their right mind came up with that nonsense? Who?
I'll give you three guesses, and it starts with the letter J. Okay? Why? Because most of those chickens aren't coming from the United States to be processed over there. They're coming from China completely. That's the cover story. That's the cover story, okay? I've seen people that have been to China with hidden cameras taking pictures of where those chickens are coming from, and it's no wonder they're finding the stuff in it they're finding. All right? The way they're raised and the way they're butchered over there in these villages in China, it'll turn your stomach, okay? Not only that, okay, they're also finding human DNA in much of our food today. And now what did we find out? These companies are buying aborted baby material to come up with food enhancement.
Flavor enhancements. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So now you, thanks to your Jewish Antichrist masters, are cannibals. You're consuming human DNA. Now, let me give you a clue, okay? Yahweh's going to punish this world. It's coming very, very soon. Mad cow disease. Everybody remembers when that came out, but nobody seems to remember what the scientists and the people that went in to investigate found out. All they remember is the hype in the controlled media, the mockingbird media, about mad cow disease being a mystery and everything else. No, it's not a mystery. They went in and they found out very quickly what was happening. In order to save money, the cattle ranchers were feeding the cattle feed from certain companies, and guess who owns these companies? And these companies were putting meat, diseased and sick meat from sheep and other cattle into the feed. And therefore taking cows who are herbivores, meaning they can only digest vegetable matter, they were feeding them meat proteins from diseased cattle, goats, and sheep and horses. That's what caused mad cow's disease. You want to know why people walking today act like they're completely drunk, zoned out, and they're becoming almost animals themselves? Exactly what happened to the cows. You're eating and consuming things that your body was never meant to consume, including human particles, including DNA. That's going to create insanity. All right?
Well, so let's go back. And why are these young, look at five or six events since you and I have talked, other than your Wednesday show. These are 21, 22, 23-year-old kids. One guy walks into a bank right here in Florida in Sebring, lays down five people, shoots them execution style, then calls 911 on himself. I mean, Dan, I know mental health is always been, but never in the cop killers. Remember the old days, there must be something in the water, the whole town is pregnant, or there's something to that. But there is, I can't believe that it's just opioids. And that's a whole other thing. For the interest of money, we're drugging up every time you go to the doctor. If you go to the doctor and spend $100 and don't walk out with a prescription, you don't think you've got your money's worth.
Right. Well, I got a family member. She is only 30 years old. She's under the care of no less than five different medical so-called, quote, doctors or experts. And in total, they have her on 14 medications.
And again, she is
only 30 years old. The mother of three small children, trying to raise those children and keep her sanity while she has 14 drugs running through her body.
Well,
A naturopathic doctor friend of mine analyzed her and determined that at least three of these drugs in the writings of the manufacturer tell them never use this drug in combination with such and such
drugs.
Which turned out to be part of the 14 that she's on. So at least three of the drugs were causing a large number of her symptoms that she's on drugs to begin with.
Yep. Well, and I have a listener. He's 74 years old, and God bless this old guy. He's a fighter, and, of course, he's struggling. And he went to the doctor last week, and he said, my doctor gave me a prescription for gout. I don't have gout. And, you know, and I'm not one to give medical advice on the phone or a chat room because I'm not a doctor, even though I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But, and you know what, Dan? The guy developed gout. That's swelling of the feet and I guess a little bit of... But he didn't have gout. Why would he be prescribed... and that's not funny. But,
well,
I mean, this is somebody in my immediate radio family. And, I found him a malpractice attorney in his jurisdiction. And I actually had to consult with them. And, you know, the malpractice attorney is one of us. But that attorney has overhead and time. And then, you know, he's going to go launch this lawsuit against a doctor. And those pus bags are also protected.
Well, they are now. That's right, because after all, our critters in Congress, our traitors, have made it legal to lie to us, poison us, and they've held that the pharmaceuticals are not liable for the poisons in the vaccines. Doctors aren't liable for their malpractice. I mean, so the criminals are being protected because this is no more than a mafia. We're living in
a
gigantic mafia.
It donates millions and billions of dollars to lobbyist groups, to these critters that you discussed.
Right, follow the money.
Yeah.
Follow the money. Let me tell you something about gout, because this is a personal testimony here. Back in when I was 40-some years old, I went through a phase where I could barely walk into work because the gout affects the extremities, either the hands or the feet or both. It's a form of arthritis. That's all it is. They call it gout, but all it is arthritis that shows up in the hands and the feet. Okay, so I had the large toes of both of my feet, the joint was so swollen and red, it would not bend at all. So try walking when your big toe will not bend sometimes. I talked to my daughter. She quickly identified it as gout. I said, no, can't be. I'm only 40-some years old. She goes, no, Dad, that you have gout. And I said, well, wait a minute. That's impossible. She goes, no, Dad, it's arthritis. She goes, first thing out of her mouth, do you drink coffee? I said, yeah, I drink it all day long. She goes, that's your problem. I said, what? She said, that's your problem. So I quit cold turkey, zero coffee. Nothing but water. 2 weeks later, the joints are starting to flex. Now, many years later, I limit myself to 2 cups of coffee a day, organic, completely organic, bulletproof coffee. That's all I drink of it, and I have not had an issue with gout. My toes bend just like they did when I played football and baseball. I can walk. I can run. I can do anything I wanted to do. No medications. All I had to do is stop doing the shit that caused it. And that's the problem today. We don't ever talk about prevention. It's always a pill.
Right,
okay?
Right.
So case in point, now there's other drinks that will cause the same thing besides coffee. Coffee is the biggest culprit because of the tannic acid in coffee. Exaggerates and exacerbates the tendency towards arthritis. We also know that O-type blood, which I am, is prone to arthritis because O-type blood was made to be meat eaters. Okay?
I'm O.
Okay.
Yes.
Our blood and our bodies run more acidic than the average to be able to digest meat because our ancestors were meat eaters, okay? Lots of meat, protein. Well, the problem with that is because of that high acidic level, we're also prone to arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Arthritic conditions and arthritis. So, does that mean that you're cursed? No, it means that you need to be wise to the fact that your body has a propensity towards it, so you have to take extra measures of prevention, which means...
That's right. Read the owner's manual for that blood type. That's right. Yes, sir.
Stay away from a lot, too much protein. Stay away from the dark drinks like colas, coffees, dark teas, anything with caffeine in it, and drink a lot more water.
Water. See, I used to drink 12 to 14 cups of coffee a day. I'd hit the deck here in my office at 5:36 in the morning, get on the phone, coffee, 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 coffee. Now I limit myself to, I'll make a pot of four. I bought a little tiny pot, and it only makes four cups, and I rarely finish it anymore. And it
right.
wasn't that I had any symptoms, but I remember you stating that when we first met about your gout story. And it, you know, we all have different models of body. We're male and female. Then we have different blood types, and you nailed it. O positive or O negative, you need to understand that's what the Lord gave you, and you need to read the manual.
Right. There's a good book called Eat Right for Your Blood Type, written by a man and woman doctors. Both of them are doctors. They're married to each other as well. So man and wife, two doctors, wrote a book called Eat Right for Your Blood Type. Every single thing I read in that book that pertained to O-type blood pertained to me. Everything that they warned to be careful about was exactly the food groups that gave me the most trouble.
Hmm.
So in case in point, I remember a couple years before the gout thing, I would take a bag of corn chips into work. I like the real hot ones, blue chips with like cayenne on them and all that.
Yep.
I'd take them to work, and about the third handful, I would get indigestion so bad, I'd be miserable for hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what's wrong? I've eaten this way. Well, the problem is when you're young, Yahweh does you a favor. When you're young and dumb, you have enough extra enzymes and stuff that you can get away with being stupid for a while. But by the time
right.
you get to be the age of 35 to 45, he expects you to start getting smarter. Well,
right.
when I read the book, Eat Right for Your Blood Type, guess what one of the food groups is that you have to stay away from with O-type blood? Corn. So what, especially today when almost all corn, almost
is GMO.
All corn
yeah.
is GMO. Okay,
right.
that is another problem, okay? When you're eating organic corn, you might get away with it a little bit, but when you're eating the GMO or the hybrid corns, now you exacerbate the problem, and you're going to have even more trouble. So here again, it's a multifaceted thing. It's fixable, but the people have to decide to repent and decide that Father's laws matter, the truth matters. That's really what it boils down to. Does the truth
well,
matter
see, the Monsantos
anymore?
Monsantos have, you know, let's say we have a choice, Dan. We can get the GMO corn for 70 cents a can, and or we can get the real corn for a buck and a half. Well, I would choose the buck and a half, but at the end of the day, the supply of real and even Whole Foods has been busted. A lot of these companies that say, oh, it's non-GMO and it's this, that, and the other, they're skirting the ingredient panel through language, through, and what they're doing is writing those ingredient panels in lieu of a lawsuit so that an attorney can come in and play word games with it. And that's where I pound my fist on my desk. Is it corn? Or is it genetically modified corn? Answer the question.
Well they don't want to answer
you know,
the question
yeah.
because they
no,
know
they skirt it.
They skirt it. But here's the thing. Now, you said, what can we do? All right, here's what I'm waiting for the men of our faith and our race to say. I've had enough. When enough men decide that we're going to walk away from all this nonsense and start over again, then we can fix this problem easily, because the answer is we need to get back on the family farm and do it ourselves. You can't trust the non-whites. You can't trust the Jews ever. Okay? They lie because that's what their father Satan did, and Christ identified them as liars and doing the works of their father in John chapter 8. It's no different 2,000 years later. It's the same liars, the same misfits, the same murderers, the same poisoners, the same pedophiles, the same Luciferian organ harvesters and everything else, the same creatures that Obadiah says that eventually, when Yahweh's army arises, they will be exterminated. Why? Because they're criminals. It's in their DNA. And people need to wake up to that. They can't change. A scorpion can't change what it is. A rattlesnake cannot change what it is. An Edomite, Canaanite, Bolshevik, communist, Khazar, Jew can't change their spots. Period. And that's why Christ said so 2,000 years ago, and for that, they murdered him. They had a mock trial, and even though he got through that part, they had him murdered because Pontius Pilate was going to forgive him even though he was found guilty in a mock trial, a kangaroo court. And Pontius Pilate knew he was innocent. And when the people had a chance to let him free and instead crucify a known murderer, the Jews whipped the crowd up into a lather. Can you picture that? Yeah, they do it today. Same thing.
Well,
murder the guy over there. Don't murder the real guy. Murder the guy over here because he stands in the Jews' way. It's called regime change. That's what happened to Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi, and many, many other leaders. We have murdered them when they weren't really the problem. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
They did it 2,000 years ago to the Christ. That's how they did it. Here, hey, you Judeans, look over here. That Christ guy, he's pretending to be God. They didn't say, well, he's outing us. He's telling the truth about what we're doing. No, they said, he's calling himself God. He's a blasphemer. Let's let Barabbas go. Yeah, he's murdered people, but he's no threat to us. This guy Christ over here now, oh my God.
Yeah.
The whole time, see, what it was is, wait a minute, he's telling them what we're up to. We can't have that. Just like the censorship on Google and YouTube and all that. They don't tell you that, well, wait a minute, these people are telling the truth about what the Jews are up to. Oh, they don't say a word about that. They go, oh, these are haters. These are anti-Semites. These are, they're white supremacists. They got all kinds of terms, but the reality is the people on these different channels are starting to put the pieces together. And it's always pointing in the same direction, Zionism.
Right. And, well, you know, with that, Google and, you know, that's kind of my wheelhouse lately is I run systems for many law firms and a medical clinic. And I watch all this, and they are shutting accounts down, Dan, right and left. And let me ask you, because, you're generous enough to go overtime here. What's your quick take on what's going on in Venezuela?
I've been watching a lot of stuff on that because there's a lot of misinformation out there. I was disappointed Russia today is not handling it with an unbiased view as far as I can tell. Fox News is not doing it. Florida Maquis and a few people like him that actually have boots on the ground in Colombia and Venezuela and some of the people that live here in Miami, there's a large Venezuelan population in the South Florida area. What I can gather is that the Chavistas, which are the followers of Chavez, and Chavez was no different than Muammar Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein. He basically thumbed his nose towards the New World Order and the elites in Washington and said, I'm going to keep the Venezuelan gold, silver, iron, and
oil
for the Venezuelan people. Now, was he somewhat socialist? Yeah, he was. He isn't an outright communist, but he was a little bit of a socialist. But he had a heart for his people, and he was trying to lift up Venezuela. And so they call themselves Chavistas. The Chavistas number in the multiple millions of people, and that's who elected Maduro. And Maduro was elected by them because he was the one that Chavez passed the baton to when the CIA orchestrated Chavez's murder. Okay, so here again, regime change. They didn't like Chavez. Chavez turned it over to Maduro. Maduro continued with the Chavistas to do what Chavez wanted to do, which is benefit the Venezuelan people. The power elite in Washington, D.C. don't like that. They want the reserves. Even that piece of shit, John Bolton, has publicly stated that. Because this puppet named Juan Guaido, or whatever, however you pronounce his name, Guido, Guaido, whatever, Juan is a young upstart, the same as the Trudeau Satanist up in Canada. He's a young punk that they've filled his pockets full of money, so he'll do whatever he's told to do. That's who they want in there. He'll turn all of the country's resources over to the power elites. That's why I say I'm done with the Trump and the whole bullshit story that we've got good people in Washington. No, we don't. No, we don't. If Trump was really who he says he is, guys like John Bolton wouldn't be there, Pompeo wouldn't be there, Barr wouldn't be there, and the rest of those Zionist hags that are there wouldn't be there either. Okay?
I agree, sir. And that's
the country's ready to die.
Yeah, no, that's really...
The country's ready to die, and he has the power. If he was honest and sincere, if there was a good military, they have the power to shut everything down and turn this into a military operation, because that is the only thing that's going to work.
Amen.
The question is the military operation being done by people on our side, or is it being done as a pretext? All of this calamity is so that we will actually cheer our oppressors with martial law. That's the danger right now. Martial law and a military operation's coming whether we like it or not. Okay? It's either going to be the New World Order hiding under the guise of Q and Trump saying, oh, yeah, this is all being done behind closed doors, but it's actually for the good. No. Transparency. That's the only indication that you're up to something good. Transparency. You got to come out in the open. If it's done in the dark, if people are disappearing and the neighbors don't know what happened to them, then that's a sign of the Bolsheviks and what they did in Russia. That's not the sign of somebody trying to fix America and making it great again. No, that's another swamp creature whose job it was to get us to sit on our ass and believe that we're going to have a savior in the form of a human person, when the savior, who's actually our savior, is sitting here going, man, they're listening to this guy Trump. He's surrounded by Zionists. He's surrounded by warmongers. He's surrounded by whores that do the bidding of the New World Order. But he's somehow going to save us.
I think they're laughing at us, Dan. I think
they're laughing at
us that we took it. And you and I are intelligent men, as your listeners are intelligent ladies and gentlemen. But we're only as fortified as what we take in, nutrients, information. We're not getting 99.9% of what we think we can glom onto, like Q. Remember, I said on several of your shows, I don't agree or disagree. I'm on the fence because I don't know.
Right.
And I've said on your show and my show, Trump could be a Trojan horse. And think of this. If Trump and Pence are somehow eliminated through the choreographic bullshit that we're seeing, Pelosi could take presidency and bring Hillary in, and it could be a relationship like W. Bush. W. Bush was president, but Dick Cheney ran the fucking, or I'm sorry, it's Sunday, the freaking country. Okay? Same with LBJ. Same with all that. The writing's on the wall. And,
well,
you know, I'm not a visionary, but, you know, I sit here, and Dan, I'll yield after this. You know, if I'm on a train track and I see a train coming at me, I don't jump off to save my own life, then shame on me.
Oh, I know.
And I know. That train is, I hear it, baby. It's a coming.
That's why I was told that the militia in all 50 states are on alert right now. I pray that's true. And if these are men of Yahweh, if they're God-fearing men and patriots to this nation, then I'm putting a call out to the militia to be ready, because it's the handwriting's on the wall. So the only thing that the good men and women of this country who are armed and armed spiritually and physically, they need to be doing right now is who are going to be your leaders, because this is going to go hot real soon. All right? And you guys in the military know what I'm talking about.
I agree.
This is going to go hot. So you better be in group conversation right now with no electronics anywhere nearby. Get in your groups, whatever size they are, and start figuring out who you're going to take your marching orders from. Because you're going to either be led by tyrants, as the Founding Fathers said, you're either going to be led by tyrants or by God. And in this case, by godly men. You're going to have to pick either tyrants to lead you or godly men.
Well, those that are not have their finger on the Paul stand, is right back to what we were saying. Who do you believe anymore? Who's
I don't believe anybody.
Unfortunately, we have to cut through that to a certain degree. And I want to talk to you off air later this afternoon on the militia thing, if you don't mind spending 15 minutes with me. But the time is near, and I'm a sober Sunday afternoon, worn out from a busy week guy that is over this shit. I'm over it. And I either lay down my microphone and my radio show, and I get selfish and protect me, which I can't do, Dan. I gave this 2 weeks of thought, serious thought.
Yeah.
And I'm back to, we have got to have a physical group put together. Probably isn't a good time to talk about it on a public show. You and I are both in Florida, but we're miles apart, and there probably are people in my jurisdiction that know people in your jurisdiction, and we need to bring the men together. Sit down at the table like you. I've had the pleasure of meeting you, two or three times?
Mm-hmm.
If you were closer, I'd probably meet with you once or twice a week. But it's that serious, folks. And trust me, I'm not going to sit here and say I don't have time for this. We have to make time for this, but it is very concerning, Dan, and I'm blessed with no family. I miss my Kim, but, I'm in a perfect position to be someone on this team as far as time, availability, land. I have commitments in my professional life, but I can manage those, and unless we do something soon, in my closing remark here, unless we do something soon, we may as well just bend over and kiss our asses goodbye.
Well, Father's putting the heat under our butts right now. For anybody with a conscience, anybody that's observing in the least little bit of what's happening, and the enemy knows that. Again, they monitor with algorithms all of the communications. They're well aware that a large number of Americans are pissed off. And again,
it took me 15 minutes to connect to your bridge. Never have had that. I connected okay to the chat room, and it wasn't my phone system because I tried my office, I tried my cell phone, I tried my friend up in Tennessee. To connect to the access number, it took 15 minutes of constant retries. And then I was about an hour into your lecture, and it just dropped me. Boom, done. And it took five more attempts to come back in. And, I'm a telecom guy. There's absolutely no excuse. It was actually, I don't know if it was my number dialing your number, or if it was maybe, to be fair, maybe something in the exchange, but I could bounce all over the country to known phone numbers of people, and I had no problem. And I put in your chat room at the beginning. Anyone else having this problem? No, I'm okay. So is it my number that is now being restricted? Which I hope they're listening. Come to my facility. Come see me face to face. And that's not a dare. That's not a threat. I'm sick of this shit. You people have no. I pay my for my phone service. I don't need some jackass deciding what numbers I can connect to, and I kind of segued on that, but Dan is coming. That's why those ham radios. We gotta blow off some of the dust on things that we put into place and rehearse ham communications, And I'm really, and I've said this since the day I met you, I am really thirsty for some good face-to-face patriots in my jurisdiction that are absolutely vetted by those that I trust, and that being you and your team. We have got to do this, or we're screwed, man.
Well, we have to circle the wagons. That's where we're at, okay? The enemy's on the horizon ready to make their final move, and we need to take up defensive positions. This is a war. Make no mistake about it. You know, the church world wants to constantly talk about spiritual warfare. No, no, no. This is going hot. This is literal warfare. And you're going to find out, folks. I'm sorry. I know the church world's been telling you, just pray about it. Don't worry, the rapture train's going to take you out of here. Yeah, it looks bad, but you're going to be watching this from on high. Trust me, I was in the church.
Yeah, pop $100 in the plate on your way out.
Okay,
like you
but
said.
I got a serious wake up call for you. You're going to wake up one morning and you're going to find bayonets pointed at you and your family. And guess what? You're going to find out then that the rapture train doesn't exist as the Bolsheviks do to your daughters and your wife and your sons and daughter, what they did to the Russians 100 years ago. Just go read
it's
what they did
late.
To the Russian families, okay?
You wake up with a bayonet in your face, ladies and gentlemen, you miss the opportunity.
Yep.
It's
I'm
over.
Telling you. Yeah. That's a sad time to realize that you've been fooled. You're right. And we're going to get together soon. I got a feeling. We're going to find something's going to pop up on the radar screen, and we're going to be able to bring together some true believers here in the near future. So in the meantime, the militia need to be on high alert, full preps. They need to be discussing who their leaders are, who they trust, and this is going to become very hot, very quickly, and very large, and especially in certain areas of the country. So, but we'll save more for that on another time, Jimmy. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up. All right, bud?
Yes, sir. And thank you so much for what you do. And Dan, if you have a minute, maybe later this afternoon, give me a call for about a quick 10-minute. I've got some ideas and maybe a few questions. If you can't do it today, just, you know, in the coming days, let's get together on a private call, okay? And God bless you. Yahweh bless you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, Jimmy. Yahweh bless. Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, ran over just a little bit, but not too bad, I don't think. These are perilous times, and it's scary, and I know that. And a lot of people are afraid right now. I take calls and communication with folks almost every day, and I wish that there was something to take that away, but it's the nature of things, folks, especially when you realize that you've been fooled and lied to by the very institutions you were told as children that you could trust, churches, government, education system, medicine, and you find out that they have been infiltrated by monsters, actually, men and women with no conscience whatsoever. Just take a look at the people in New York that applauded for that absolutely horrendous legislation, and look into the eyes of the governor of Virginia and tell me that isn't a soulless individual. Okay, he has no spirit, no soul whatsoever. He's a bag of bones doing what he does because that's what he's told to do, and that's what they pay him for. All right, he is a mercenary. He is an actor, just as the book of Luke chapter 12 talks about. Okay, hypocrisy. They change and they pretend to be what they are not. They pretend to be American. They pretend to honor the Constitution. Many of them are dual citizenship Zionists, and their Talmud allows them to pray the Kol Nidre and disavow any oath that they take. So they can stand in front of a camera and get sworn in as a government worker, knowing full well that they have no intention of honoring that Constitution. That's treason, folks. That's treason. These Muslims that have gotten into our government, they are traitors. Okay? Their allegiance is to a foreign legion, a foreign god, and a foreign people. Okay? They are not of us. That's treason. They have no intention of honoring our culture, our history, or our Constitution. Treason. Okay? And your church has led you into the pit, and your pastors have led you to the slaughter. Exactly as the book says at the latter days. Okay? Your preachers, who you should have been able to trust, have led you to the slaughter. And I lift up the people of Venezuela because I believe that it is the power elite with another regime change to steal the resources of those good people. Now, the Venezuelans, for the most part, are not of my race, but they're still men and women and families, and they have a right to that land. That's their land, and those resources belong to the Venezuelan people, just as the resources of Colombia belong to those people. And they have a right to life and liberty and property, same rights that we have. And I wish that Yahweh would imbue me with enough power and military that instead of invading Venezuela to steal, I would send military aid, if requested, to Colombia, Cuba, Venezuela, to send troops down there to find the communists and execute them on the spot, to find the Bolsheviks that walk amongst them and execute them on the spot, and turn their countries back over to them. That's what we should be there for. If we're going to go there with weapons, it's to assist the duly elected people of those countries into getting rid of the criminals, the drug dealers, the communists, the Bolsheviks. They're the troublemakers, and there will be no peace on earth as long as that group of people walk this earth. This is warfare, all right? As I've said many, many times, my life means nothing. It means nothing at all. I'm here to do a job that I promised Father I would do many years ago. As long as He watches over me and gives me breath, I'll do that job. And when He takes me home, it's still going to be there, folks. No life, no person is above what's going on. This is Father's plan. And He wants a righteous army to arise. Ezekiel in chapter 37 talks about it. Malachi in chapter 4 talks about it. Ezekiel in 25 talks about it. Obadiah at verse 18 talks about it. Our people, our men, are to be a righteous army on this earth. When, in God's name, are you going to realize that and stand up and say no more? Dear Heavenly Father, we give You the praise, glory, and honor that You and You alone deserve. We thank You for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings, our failings, our weaknesses, and sometimes even our cowardice. We would ask that You'd put a spirit of righteousness and courage within us and good discernment to see through the lies and deceptions. We'd also ask, Father, that You would bless the soldiers out there. We ask the ransom, a soldier's ransom on all of the warriors, those that did pay, not to me, to whatever You choose. Those that gave the approximately $3 worth of Federal Reserve notes towards that end, we ask a blessing of guidance and protection upon each and every one of those warriors. We ask that You would protect us from our enemies, Father, and lead us as we go forward to teach and to lead our people in these perilous times. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.